Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Today radio network. And certainly it's a delight to have you with us. And on behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And we do want to encourage you to stay tuned, because once again, during the second and the third segment of our program today, we will be having Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us talking about different things taking place from the prophetic perspective. He's an authority on these things and always gives us information that is encouraging, things that can lead us to pray. And so you won't want to miss the rest of the program, particularly segments 2 and 3. And, of course, you can stay the whole hour. We would love to have you the whole hour. You don't have to go leave now and come back in 15 minutes. You can just stay with us the whole time, and we would encourage you to do that. But anyway, Dave and Sam, talking about this presidential campaign, you know, I was thinking about this earlier today, fellas. This is really one of the most unique presidential campaigns that I can ever remember. I mean, you know, we've all talked about, and Dave, you and I have talked about this for many years over radio, how that it seems like every presidential election is probably the most significant up to that point in history. And I think that every presidential election is indeed the most significant up to that point of time in history. But the fact of the matter is, this is quite a unique kind of a presidential election, Sam, with the people that we have running and with the way the polls are up and down. And we just recently learned that out in Iowa, Ben Carson and Donald Trump are tied at 23%. Sam, I'm wondering about your professional insight on that type of a thing.
Well, Gary, it is significant. As you say, everything that has been unfolding, we've talked about, that the pundits out there have talked about, is that they keep using the descriptions that it's unheard of. It's outside the scope of. I read one thing last night. They're talking about, you know, this is so different what's happening, that literally every 60 years, and I don't know why they necessarily picked that, but it's a generation and a half. Every 60 years, somebody comes along that really falls outside the scope of everything that's happening. That's how they're terming what this is. So I think it is, Gary, from many perspectives, noteworthy. One thing I'll just say here, and then I'll be done on it, is that in this Iowa circumstance, clearly these are caucuses. One could say that that's an early thing. It's not that significant, but there are many who are beginning to say that this Iowa circumstance may in fact be the determiner of who's going to come forth. The thing that's significant here is that the top three, which is Trump now and Carson tied, and then Carly Fiorina be right behind them, she is the next in line. These three are all non-political types. They're all outside individuals looking in. And that is part of what I think is tapping into the interest, what it has the Republican establishment really scared to death, because they don't know how to handle it. And I think all of the pundits are looking at this and saying, we just don't know what to make of this. So it is historic, I think, and we're going to see it continuing to, I think, unfold, Gary and Dave, historically.
And, you know, you talk about the Republican establishment. You know, there's some thinking out there now that with Jeb Bush, who would really be the Republican establishment candidate, being down so far, and of course in this recent poll by Monmouth University for Iowa, he is down at 5%. Dave Kistler, there's some talk about the fact that maybe Mitt Romney might jump in there and try to carry the banner for the Republican establishment. What do you think about that?
Gary, I think the chances of that happening are very, very unlikely. You know, Mitt Romney has been very clear that he has no interest in running for president again, and I think he was speaking the truth when he said that. So I don't think he's going to get in. Why would he want to put himself in the middle of a field that already has 17 people, and him become the 18th? I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, the interesting thing about that is, though, Dave, is you know, a while back before the campaign really began, Mitt and his wife, Ann, in talking to Neil Cavuto of Fox, said that if Bush ran, that Romney would stay out of it because both of them represented a similar center of establishment principles and would appeal to the same donor base. But now, with Bush dropping the way that he is, maybe that would motivate Mitt to get involved. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, that is exact thinking of some that are there. Although, so I think that's a possibility. I think I am going to side with what Dave is saying in because of this. If Trump and Carson and the outsiders continue to attract and lead, I think it will be not possible. That's a double negative. I don't think it will be possible for a Romney, even though he's known to come in so late and to offer anything significantly different than any of the others are offering at this point. So I'm going to side with Dave, and I say I don't think he's actually going to get in.
Well, I would agree, but it's just interesting. Like I said, you know, to watch this particular campaign is quite interesting. Talking about the president, I got an interesting letter yesterday from Mr. Obama. I do not know how I am on his mailing list, but I got this yesterday, which I sent to you and Sam and Dave, and this comes from Barack Obama. He says, calls me dear friend. Next month, I'll be in New York City for the 2015 LGBT Gala, and I couldn't be more excited about it. Not just because this has been a banner summer for our LGBT brothers and sisters, but because each time I attend this event, I leave with great memories. And this year won't be any different, because this year I plan on leaving with memories of time spent with you. This year's LGBT gala will surely be one to remember, so don't miss out. Plus, the DNC is going to foot the bill for travel and hotel arrangements for you and a friend. aren't you guys excited that Mr. Obama has invited me to the LGBT gala and he wants to have a great time with me, Dave?
Well, Gary,
Sam, I don't.
yeah, you better be careful how you word that. But anyway, you know, honestly, Gary, it's tragic. It's absolutely tragic that the president would celebrate something like this. I understand, you know, there are those within the White House, even the president himself, that are very supportive of this type of lifestyle. But to word a letter like that and to do it in such a celebratory fashion is, to me, unthinkable. It is defiance against the God of heaven. And I have no doubt. I have no doubt that what he said there will be true. It will be a memorable event, but it'll be memorable because of its wickedness.
And Gary, I agree with that, and Dave, 100%. Gary, I would have to say that if you did go, which I know you won't, but
don't
if
worry.
You did go and you did talk to the president, I bet you, I'm not a betting man, but I would think that he would walk away having some memory of engaging you, because you couldn't resist yourself in saying, "Thus saith the Lord." But the fact of the matter is, I think, you know, what Dave said is critically important. When a leader of a nation leads for the purposes of evil rather than a minister of God for good, we are in big trouble. And I think that's part of the bigger story.
It's a great violation of Romans 13. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to stay tuned, because when we come back, we are going to be having with us once again Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is the host of Prophecy Today. He's an expert on the Middle East, and he has a lot of good information for us. So don't you dare go away. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap Today, right after these messages.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
If we are to guard against ignorance and remain free, it is the responsibility of every American to be informed. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
We the People t-shirts, where freedom is always in style. Famous quotes from patriots throughout U.S. history printed on the back of our t-shirts. We do over 25 quotes in a variety of colors. High quality t-shirts with a meaningful message that make people think. Encourage others by reminding them about patriots of conviction who have gone before us. Order directly from wethepeopletshirts.us. For more information, call 757-645-8878.
We are right to take alarm at the first experiment upon our liberties. A quote from James Madison.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing in the gap with us and listening to this radio program. I want to encourage you to go to the Stand in the Gap radio website and learn more about the program and the other programs produced by the American Pastors Network. You can also learn some things about David Kistler and Sam Rohr and myself that you may not know. And if you happen to be away from a radio, why, at that website, you can listen live. It connects you with our flagship station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. And, of course, that website is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's www.standinthegapradio.com. And we know that we have a good number of people who listen over the Internet, and we thank you for that. And if you did not know that you can listen to us on the Internet, well, you can at standinthegapradio.com. Well, Sam, today we are delighted to have a good friend back with us, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Yes, we sure are. And Dr. DeYoung, it's a pleasure to have you back. Our listeners are becoming very acquainted with you, and they are looking forward to the times you are here with us. So before I get into the question, I welcome you formally to be back with Dave and Gary and I. Glad you're here.
Well, we're so glad to be able to be with you guys. I am a little bit concerned, though, about Gary, especially because of the letter he got from the president.
Well, we are too, tell you the truth. So,
I'm concerned too, Jimmy. Don't worry about it.
Fact of the matter is, gentlemen, we may need a new co-host here soon. So, Dr. DeYoung, we're taking applications.
Yes, well, we're glad you put that in there. You expressed the fear of all of our listeners, but I think we've handled that for the moment. But
what? Not a funny matter. We're all laughing about it, and it is kind of a chuckle. But it is a very serious matter. It is, I believe, the continuation of Bible prophecy. Luke chapter 17. The Lord, when he's speaking to his apostles and the disciples, he said, you want to know when I'm coming back? It will be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to believe that this particular United States of America has become the end times Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is just a terrible situation. But it does, on the other side, get exciting because that would be the time of the returning of the Lord.
And that's where we want to go, Jimmy. Let's go to the Middle East. That's where you know things so well. Prior, on a previous conversation, on a program, we talked and you gave us your quick input relative to the Iran deal. Of or actually helping to facilitate the formation of the Eastern powers, Russia, India, China, Persia, Iran, and so forth. And you commented on that is very, very prophetical. I want to go, you can tie it into this, but I want to go to the next element here. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan are in the process of discussion, or perhaps have been, but ongoing, also interestingly, with Russia. Now, is the coming together of these three entities prophetical? Talk to us about it in the geopolitical perspective. Are they working in conjunction with the rise of the powers from the East? Are they separate? And how are they working together? But interesting that Russia is right in the middle of both of them.
Well, Sam, this happens to be a page right out of Bible prophecy, the book of Ezekiel chapter 38, Psalm 83, and the book of Daniel chapter 11. Verses 40 to 45. This last week in Moscow, Russia, King Abdullah of Jordan, President al-Sisi of Egypt, and King Salman of Saudi Arabia met with Vladimir Putin. They were there to discuss the situation in Syria. They were talking about Islamic State. They had a number of other things on the agenda. But the bottom line, when they got to the really important discussions, was how in the world could these member states in the Middle East, Arab nations, join together and have some type of nuclear alternative to what's going on in Iran? Everybody has already come to the conclusion Iran is going to have, if they don't already, and I'm not sure they don't, but if they don't already have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, they will. And all of the Arab countries, those three that I mentioned, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, would be a part of the 23 member states of the Arab League, Arab countries. And by the way, what makes them Arab is not only that they're Islamic, that's their religion, common religion across the board, but they speak the Arabic language. There are other Islamic states like Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, like Indonesia. These are Islamic states, but they don't speak the Arabic language, so they are not a part of the Arab world. What Vladimir Putin said to President al-Sisi, we will come and build a nuclear reactor there in Egypt for you. That's an apt absolute given. You might remember a couple of years ago when Mohammed Morsi came to power, head of the Muslim Brotherhood, was elected president of the nation of Egypt. The United States, under President Obama, turned against what had been the center part of Egypt and its political body politic, and they turned to the Muslim Brotherhood. And when that did happen, then Russia rushed into that vacuum left by the United States, became very friendly with Egypt. And then when the head of the military, which was General Al-Sisi, became president in the election after they took out Morsi as the head of the Muslim Brotherhood and president of the nation of Egypt, the Russians had a close relationship already. This was a part of bringing them over there. Jordan needs some type of a nuclear reactor as well. They have no supply of oil. That's a part of it. But the concern that I have is that all of this that is burned in these nuclear reactors could quickly become weapon-grade material to develop a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. And, of course, Saudi Arabia says, hello, hey, we are concerned very much about Iran. They just crossed the Persian Gulf there, and we are fearful that they would come after us because they would like to have the headquarters for the Islamic world in Iran. This is all, as I said, scripture. Russia in Ezekiel 38:2, referred to as May God, and Jordan listed in Daniel chapter 11, and this referred to as Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and those would be the biblical terms for Jordan, modern day. And then you have Egypt also in Daniel, and Saudi Arabia listed as the Ishmaelites in the book of Psalm chapter 83, and verse 6. Now, these are all players in that end-time scenario in alignment of nations. We'll try to go against the Jewish state of Israel, led by Russia. And my dear friend, what happened in Moscow last week is evidence we're quickly moving towards that agenda.
Dr. DeYoung, I want to follow up with one question, and then I think we'll go further in this break and then pick up a lot more on the other. But in addition to this, Saudi Arabia, evidently, the King of Saudi Arabia has requested a meeting with our president, I believe, yet this week. There is going to be some discussion or revelation that he may make. There are some stating and believing that perhaps, and I don't know this for a fact, but this is where it is, that since he has already had a discussion with Russia, since there is an alignment appearing to happen, and up to this point, the alignment with Saudi Arabia has been with the United States. Kissinger, years ago, made a deal with Saudi Arabia that we would allow them to direct OPEC, they could set the price of oil, and in exchange, they'd have to require everybody to buy oil in the form of dollars, and our dollar became the reserve currency. They've been playing around with changing that. I don't know if the king is going to come and say we're no longer going to honor that, but if he does, and the dollar drops, the entire economy in this United States dissipates dramatically. Do you think that perhaps this may have something to do with that in the furthering of this relationship developing between the Saudis and Egypt and so forth and Russia in a lessening relationship with the United States?
Well, the entire Middle East, all the Arab countries, many of the Islamic countries are turning away from the United States. They see no power base. The superpower of the United States of America no longer exists, at least in the minds of the leaders of the Middle Eastern nations. And so whatever the king of Saudi Arabia does when he meets with the president, first of all, I'm sure he's probably going to bless him out because of the fact that he did push that Iranian nuclear deal, which brings Saudi Arabia very much into harm's way. And if they can do something to put the pressure on, there's still a possibility that that Iranian arms deal could fall apart, that nuclear deal. It's not, I think, very possible that it will, but there still is that outside chance, and maybe the pressure from Saudi Arabia. You see, they have been attacked from the south by the Houthis in Yemen. Yemen's government was down by the Iranian surrogates there in Yemen, and they are concerned about what's going on there. The United States is not assisting in their Saudi Arabian fight in that particular situation. I think Saudi Arabians are very concerned about the president of the United States. Where the United States is going, they're going to have some very important conversations when they get together.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a discussion with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is, of course, the host of Prophecy Today. He has his own radio program. He's a Middle East expert, and we're going to continue our discussion with him after the break. So you go ahead and take a little bit of a break, but come back in about 3 minutes. We'll be here, and we'll continue our discussion on today's edition of Stand in the Gap, today from the American Pastors Network.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776. Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Unconfirmed reports that another police officer has been shot dead northwest of Chicago. The Sun-Times reporting a manhunt underway in the village of Fox Lake, where some schools are on lockdown. Also unconfirmed that the officer's gun was taken from him, used in the killing. Manhunt involves white and black suspects. The Kentucky clerk who continues to deny marriage license to anyone gay or otherwise, despite a Supreme Court ruling, has been ordered to appear in federal court Thursday morning. Today, turmoil at Kim Davis's workplace.
She got an earful in her packed clerk's office this morning.
Call the police! Call the police! I will have to arrest you.
Do your job!
You should be ashamed of yourself!
Law enforcement had to come clear the office.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso. Her supporters were also on hand. She could get steep fines or jail time. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 2 not to be troubled or shaken in their heart or spirit. He said not to falter in their faith or their understanding of Christ, either by what they read or heard, because the day of Christ was at hand. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul warned the early believers not to be deceived by the overwhelming deception and to expect a falling away from the truth. He said there would be great wickedness and great iniquity and the great wicked one. Paul said, therefore, to stand fast and hold tight to the truth they had been taught. If this was a reality and a necessity in Paul's day, how much more today? He went on to say, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, let us also not be deceived in our current days of evil when we also see a falling away. If there was ever a time for true believers to stand fast for the truth, it is now.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the program, and I realize that we have a good number of radio stations on the network here that do not play the Fox News at the bottom of the hour like our flagship station does, WFYL, in the Philadelphia area. It was reported during the 12:30 news that another police officer has been shot dead out in the Chicago area. It's a suburb of Chicago. And, you know, this is somewhat unconfirmed, according to Fox News, but the schools and so forth and so on around that particular area are in lockdown. And, you know, it just seems like almost every week we hear that another police officer has been shot. And I know this isn't exactly the direction that we're going in this discussion with you today, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, but with all of this that's taking place, with these police officers being shot almost every time you turn around, can you see some sort of a prophetic significance in this as well?
Well, I certainly do, because the United States of America has a constitution that calls for simply two things to happen: to be able to protect themselves from an attack externally, that would mean they have to have a standing military, but then to protect themselves internally, and that would be a police system across the United States that enforces the law of the Constitution and people have respect for. There's a wonderful man, a black man, by the way, as sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He said the other day that President Obama is responsible for all of these cops being killed, and we've heard a couple of cops being killed the last couple of days, one in Texas, now in the Chicago area. We're talking about a war that was started against the police officers, the law enforcement people of America, and this is a part of how, in the end times, nobody will respect the law. They will do everything that they think is right in their own sight. That's where they're going. And that's exactly what Israel did in the past. Israel has always been an example of what the rest of the world is going to do as we move into the end times.
How sad that is. And, of course, again, you know, these are sad events, but we can also say it's exciting because we know we're getting closer and closer to hearing the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and Jesus saying, come up hither. Sam, back to you. I think you have another question you want to ask.
Well, I do. Dr. DeYoung, I'd like you to take and do some sequencing here biblically for us. We've talked about it in the segment before about the rising up of the European Eurasian group, Russia, China, India, Persia. There's also another group Scripture talks about Egypt and perhaps Syria coming against Israel. I would like you, if you could, sequence that for us. Put in terms of rapture. When does Russia and the East come in? When does Egypt and perhaps go against Israel? Sequence this for us, if you could, please.
Sam, the rapture is the next event on God's calendar of activities. There's absolutely no prophecy, not one prophecy, that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Now, at the rapture of the church, that is not the beginning of the tribulation period, because according to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, the 10 horns of the old Roman Empire, which will be the revived Roman Empire, have to come in place. At that point, chapter 7, verse 8 talks about a little horn coming out of the 10 horns, and that is one of 27 names for the Antichrist. So after the rapture, that's the second thing that has to happen, the revived Roman Empire, the appearance of Antichrist. And then Daniel 9:27 says, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant, a peace treaty, and actually there are three peace treaties already on the table waiting for confirmation. It doesn't say in the text they will be signed, it says they will be confirmed. That word in Hebrew, gabar, means they actually will be confirmed, made stronger. When the Antichrist does that, that starts the clock ticking on the tribulation period. At that point in time, according to Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 8 and 11, when the Jewish people are dwelling safely in the land, now they're not dwelling safely in the land now, they will not be in the tribulation period, except for the very beginning of it, because the Antichrist appears to them as the Messiah, and he confirms his peace treaty. They think, as they have read Bible prophecy, that is the time of the Messiah coming. They're totally wrong. They lay down their weapons. They live in unwalled cities, according to Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 11. That's when this coalition of nations make their way to try to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Book of Psalm chapter 83 and verse 4 says they will say, let's go out, destroy Israel, that her name be forgotten forever. Then you go back to Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, and it refers to the king of the north and the king of the south. Early on in chapter 11, the king of the north, geographically, is Syria. the king of the south, is Egypt. As we speak, on the border at the northern end of the state of Israel, there in the Golan Heights. Golan Heights are into the southern portion of them, Israel, but they're also in the northern portion of the Golan Heights into Syria. And there is Al-Qaeda, there is Islamic State, there is Bashar Assad's military operation, all there at that border, and there has been artillery shells fired across the border, all of these things unfolding as to what is happening in the times in which we're living. And so Syria is ready to go. Now, Syria is the first nation to make a move against the Jewish state of Israel. Late-breaking headline, Russia has sent in military forces into Syria within the last 24 hours. Now there are a number of MiG-29s flying in the airspace over Syria. They're not getting ready to attack Israel at this point in time, but it's going to hamper the opportunity for the Israeli Air Force to go in and take out some of these radicals that are trying to take back the Golan Heights. Bashar Assad said maybe a year ago, I'm going to take the Golan Heights back. I'll do it one way or the other, military or diplomatically. They're ready to do it militarily. And by the way, Isaiah 17 says Damascus will be destroyed, and that's what Bashar Assad said in the last 6 months. Destroy Damascus, I still win. He didn't understand how prophetic that is. I've just described to you how it's going to unfold. Syria, the first move to be made against the Jewish state, Russian aircraft in the air over Syria right now.
Dr. DeYoung, in Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 9, the Bible says this, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. The weapons that are being referred to there in Ezekiel 39:9, is that the weaponry of these nations that are attempting to come down against Israel in the early part of the tribulation period to which you just referred?
That's what I believe, Dave. I believe that 7-year period of time indicates that the rapture of the church takes place before the 7 years. That gives us another evidence that that is the case, because any portion of a year in the Middle East is referred to the entire year. So they need that 7-year period of time to burn those weapons of this coalition, this alignment of nations, going to come against the Jewish state of Israel. Thus, then, that will be ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. So again, that scenario, the rapture of the church, the alignment of the nations coming after Israel, they burn their weapons for 7 years, and at the end of 7 years, plus many other things that will happen, according to Revelation 16 chapters 4 to 19. Those weapons are finished being burned at the time when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth.
You know, it's interesting to note, Dr. DeYoung, that the Sanhedrin has been reformed after about, 1,500 years, and has started to issue subpoenas or invitations to appear before it. And from what we understand, one of the individual world leaders who has been invited to appear before them has been our President Barack Obama. Do you see any significance in this?
Well, I certainly do. I got to tell you, Gary, I don't know if that's the sweet word you use, invited to appear. They have been summoned. The President of the United States and the Pope both have been summoned to appear before the Sanhedrin, which, if you remember, was the Supreme Court in the days of Jesus Christ for the Jewish people. As you say, Gary, they have been reformed. I have a documentary on the preparations for to build the next temple called Ready to Rebuild. On that documentary, I interview the rabbi who actually started all the preparations, put together the Temple Institute, people getting ready to establish that temple. His name was Rabbi Nachman Kahana. And I asked him, I said, Rabbi Kahana, has the Sanhedrin been reformed? He said, yes, they have. I said, how do you know? He said, I'm the chairman. So that proved the fact that it had been reformed. Now they're summoning. And by the way, they are a part of the Israeli judicial system, so they do have authority. And they're summoning the president. They're charging him with crimes against the Jewish people because of that nuclear deal with Iran. They think it threatens the Jewish people beyond measure. They're summoning Pope because he recognized the state of Palestine about 3 months ago. The Supreme Court is known as the Sanhedrin up and operating, indicative of the fact Jesus is coming.
Well, we're getting closer to hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, as I said at the last break, and indeed we are. Well, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, thank you very much for being with us today, and hopefully we can have you back sometime in the near future.
Looking forward. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming to me today.
Amen. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with the final segment of Stand in the Gap today right after these messages, so stay tuned.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
My 12-year-old nephew came to visit on the 4th of July. He came armed with his patriotic gospels. We went to the boardwalk, passing them out and wishing all a happy 4th of July. It was an awesome experience. Thank you for all you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I plan to hand out these Gospel of John tracts as I hand out free bag lunches to anyone that has need in the downtown area. Thank you for your help and support in God's ministry.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I'm excited to announce that Eric Metaxas, the insightful radio commentator and best-selling author, will be the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet on Friday evening, October 30th, in Hershey. Metaxas is a very entertaining and compelling speaker who provides hope and a strategy to Christians seeking to make a difference in the world around them. His biographies of William Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer not only made the bestseller list, but demonstrate how one person, led of God, can change the course of history by standing up for truth in love. You won't want to miss this exciting evening, our Friends of the Family Banquet, which we've themed our Wilberforce Moment. For details, please visit our website at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly you just heard a tremendous interview with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. He's quite an authority in the Middle East and all things concerning Bible prophecy, and it's a delight for us to be able to have this relationship with him, that we can have him on the program from time to time. Moving ahead, just in this final segment, the Supreme Court yesterday, that is last evening actually, denied an emergency application from a Kentucky clerk who had been refusing to issue marriage license because of her religious objections to the same-sex marriage issue. The clerk was a lady by the name of Kim Davis, who sought to put a lower court ruling on hold pending appeal, and in the one-page order, the Supreme Court refused. Davis is now faced with a lower court order that her office begin issuing license effective right now. And the order marks the first time the issue of same-sex marriage has come back to the justices of the Supreme Court since they issued an opinion last June clearing the way for same-sex couples to marry nationwide. And from what we understand, of course, she is standing on what she believes to be her rights to freely practice her faith the way that she is convicted to do so from the biblical perspective. And this whole thing is really beginning to explode quite a bit down there in Kentucky. Is it not, Dave Kistler?
Well, Gary, it absolutely is. And if I could say this very, very quickly, I do believe Ms. Davis has biblical ground to stand on. Of course, she is standing by what she believes to be right biblically. We would concur and agree with her completely on that. And Gary, what she needs to be prepared for, though, is this, and I'm going to cite a biblical example. In Daniel chapter number 3, Daniel's three friends were told to bow down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And remember, these three friends, including Daniel, are part of this administration. That is, they are governmental officials. They have a capacity, a position in the government, and they're being told to do something that violates their firmly held religious beliefs, and that is that we ought not worship any other god other than the God of heaven. So they're being told to bow down and worship an image. They refuse to do so. They're summoned in. The king says, look, if you'll reconsider, bow down and worship, then I will not throw you into this furnace that's been prepared for you and for your death. And the three friends of Daniel say this, and I'm quoting directly from the scripture, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, that's about as unequivocal as it can possibly be. The next verse, Daniel 3:19, says Nebuchadnezzar is filled with rage, and he commands that furnace to be heated seven times hotter, and those young men are thrown in. Of course, God intervenes, and there's a fourth man walking in the fire. Those that know the Bible know the whole story, and they are delivered from that fiery furnace. What Mrs. Davis needs to be prepared for because of her biblical stance and her biblical response is to do what the three Hebrew children did, and that is suffer the consequences of her decision, which it looks like, gentlemen, may be imprisonment, incarceration. She has coming up on Thursday a hearing before a federal judge, and at that time, I'm sure there will be some judicial announcement made and some punishment rendered. But, gentlemen, it's tragic that in America, someone who believes what the Bible teaches and stands by that firmly held belief is going to face this kind of jail time and this kind of punishment. It's absolutely tragic. Our founders would roll over in their grave.
Well, thank the Lord she's taking a stand. And ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to pray for Kim Davis. It's interesting to note that there are other clerks, county clerks down in Kentucky who have expressed concern, but she's the only one who's really turning away same-sex couples as far as it's giving them marriage license is concerned, even though they could go to other counties and get those marriage licenses. I believe that there are those who are doing what they can to try to make a statement by going to Kim Davis's office to get those licenses. Sam, you know, when we hear what is going on down there in Kentucky and, of course, what Brother Dave just said, this just reminds me that as Christians, we are getting to the point where we're going to be facing more and more persecution, and which really leads up to the concept of civil disobedience. And I'm afraid that there are many Christians who are not prepared for that, and yet, indeed, we need to become prepared for that type of a circumstance.
Gary, we absolutely need to be, and I think the example that Dave gave is, I think, our example to follow. In other words, that time of testing, the time where they were going to be asked by the king to fall down and worship, they had some time ahead of time to think about it. It wasn't just that moment. They weren't caught off guard, and they determined ahead of time what their plan of action would be. And they placed themselves fully in doing obedience to God's word, and that he would take care of them results. That's why they were able to stand up. So in these days, Gary, as we have been talking about all of these various things that are happening, in your part of the state, they're challenging the Ten Commandments thing again. You know, you've got the Supreme Court ruling. You have this circumstance right now here in Texas. All of these things, we've had warning. We must, in our own mind, say we will obey God rather than man. That's the first step of preparation. And when that is the case, we have to say, all right, now, when do we stand? Can we run? I mean, some people could say, Dave, you probably got an answer on this. Some have said, in the case of the lady here in Kentucky, well, why make it an issue? Just quit. Just quit your job. And you avoid the whole thing. Dave, I'm asking you, why shouldn't that woman fight what she had? Should she just quit?
No, no, she should not, Sam. In fact, we don't find biblically the three Hebrew children bailing or leaving their jobs. They just stood their ground there. But the fact of the matter is this, within the context of the United States, we have a constitution that guarantees her. The First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees her a right to hold her beliefs, even to state her beliefs, to live her beliefs. And there is no restriction on where she states those, where she lives those, that she has to keep it in the confines of the four walls of her home. No, she can live her faith according to the First Amendment within the four walls of her business. She can live them out on the street in the public sector. So this is an egregious violation of her First Amendment rights to demand that she do something against which she has deeply held religious convictions to the contrary. So no, I don't think she should coalesce and just quit her job at all. She should stand her ground, but she should also, as did the Hebrew children, be prepared for the consequences of such a biblical and constitutionally correct stand.
That's why we need to pray for her, because she's a woman of courage. And, you know, what we need in America today is individuals who have strong backbone, who are going to be willing to stand on their convictions. And, you know, a conviction is that which you're willing to live for, as well as that which you're willing to die for or to be persecuted for. And this is what Kim Davis is facing. And, you know, if she would just quit and back down and go get another job, well, that would, in my opinion, fellows, that would just weaken, you know, the Christian position altogether. And so praise the Lord that she's willing to stand. As has been indicated in this particular case, it has been said that men and women have given their lives for this nation, for our freedom of religion, and we need to be willing to stand upon that in our time and in our day as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, continue to pray for Kim Davis, continue to pray for America, and let's stand for truth. On behalf of David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dell, thanking you for being with us today. Until tomorrow, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come. Amen. No doubt about it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.